Yeah, see that? See how I did that? No, you
didn't know. That was elaborate. All right.
It was elaborate?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Welcome to the Mind of Monty podcast, starring your boy, Monty G.
That's me.
And I, Mo. We're here to give you a TLC review.
Yes. I guess it's considered rare for us now. I haven't looked at the main roster or talked about it in a while. Like since we decided to not do this any longer, these week to week Raw reviews, and good for us, because as soon as that we stopped, you know, reviewing it, they seem to put on two of the worst shows back to back. So that's kind of ironic. I'm not going to say we had anything to do with it, but we obviously had something to do with it. We already know what it is, gang, gang, gang. Anyway.
We had the foresight to know that this ship was going down.
Round of applause for us. Okay, that was petty.
That was very petty.
Anyway, besides that point, we didn't even stop because of the low quality of Raw shows or anything like that. It was just, like I said, getting a little bit, you know, just... It was tough, and I think a lot of it had to do with everything was predictable. And I felt like since the shows were getting that way, our pods couldn't help but feel similar.
Yeah.
Because we're reviewing the same thing basically week to week, if you see what I'm trying to say. And it wasn't getting any better. And, I like this format much better, and I do think that it's different. We give a different show week to week based on what AEW and NXT gives us. A little bit, and, you know, that has a lot to do with, what they're putting out there. Same thing with including New Japan in it. You know what I mean? So I feel like that show was prospering while the Raw review was getting much like watching Raw. Stagnant, you know, boring, pointless. Anyway.
Yes.
But with that being said, they do not bring that energy to these pay-per-views. That's why I'm sticking with the pay-per-view review. And let's go. Let's get it started. Let's talk about TLC.
First up, we're going to talk about the kickoff show. There was an 8-man tag team match that happened. It was, let me get these names.
I'm not watching the kickoff show. So
I know, but I want to get.
I'm just letting everybody know that from now on, like, there will be no kickoff show reviews.
It was,
unless you are a big four pay per view, and even then, probably not. I don't know how they're going to let this Raw. I don't know how they're going to get this Raw Rumble to even exist.
It was Big E, Otis, Chad Gable, and Daniel Bryan versus King Corbin, Shinsuke, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn. Now, all of the hoopla, wasn't too bad. All the hoopla happened because...
No, it's not about it being too bad. It's just that Big E won.
Yes,
he that's what I'm talking about. I thought the way Michael Cole phrased it on the main roster show... He would lead you to believe that was a one-on-one match.
No. Anyway,
go ahead.
Yeah. Sammy did the Huluva kick or tried to do
now
the
Now it
Huluva
makes sense.
Kick. Big E countered and did the big ending, and 1, 2, 3, you've got a winner.
Now it makes sense. Now it makes more sense why they didn't put their bet on the line. Because at the time, I was like, why would you have one-on-one non-title, man? But then, you know. So, anyway, there you go. So, if you watched the pre-show, if you're one of those people... I don't know why, first of all.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know why. Not necessarily the pre-show match. Like, I understand running to the screen for the pre-show match. But it's just like the pre-shows themselves. Even if you ain't watched the show. I haven't watched the main roster show, and I will not watch the pre-show. I do not need them to catch me up. They're going to show them same video packages before the match.
They did better on the video packages this time, though.
No, they showed the video package before every match.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, every match.
I'm saying they were just better quality video packages.
Oh, yeah, but I think the only reason why you thought they were better quality packages is because you haven't been watching the show.
That's true.
That's the only reason why. If you've been keeping up with the show, the video packages are pointless. That's my point. So I'm saying it's better for us to always be just returning without watching.
Fresh eyes.
I guess. At least, yeah. Not just fresh eyes, but like especially fresh eyes to the stuff that they're trying to recap. But anyway.
Yep. Now, we open up the show with the WWE Championship match, which was also a TLC match. It was Drew Mack versus AJ Styles.
We kicked this show off strong. They hit you hard, you know. Nice,
punched you in the face.
WWE Championship video package. I'd already talked about video package more than I ever have in any in the history of this podcast. Anyway, that I'm just saying, that's the first thing you notice when you don't watch week to week every Raw. And you haven't seen every segment. You notice, man, nice video package. Is that what people who don't watch the show but keep up with the network specials? Is this what they do?
A couple of those SmackDown shows that we did watch, and I was still impressed by the audio that they put in there.
To be fair, Roman's video package, I had to write down how good that is. We'll get to that. But anyway, besides this, this match of Drew versus AJ was just about what you would expect from these two, especially the first part. It was just like, of course, AJ being who he is, crafty, being a heel. He did whatever he could to get the advantage, mostly going after Drew McIntyre's leg. And we know how that is. Drew is a bigger guy. You have to, and AJ is not that big. So what does the smaller guy usually do? You chop the tree down, as they say. Shout out to Bret Hart for that, because I think this style of match is pioneered kind of in the Bret Hart vein, maybe. But, you know, not with the ladder match, of course. I mean, just attacking a big man's leg. But anyway, that's really what I meant. Like, he put a calf crusher through the ladder, and it really popped me. I was hyped. Like, AJ really was doing everything he could to keep Drew, from retaining. But Drew McIntyre is just a dominant guy. It's just like, he just no matter what, Drew was always back on his feet, always, you know, there to counter. And it was just a really, really good match. And that's just the first part. All the way up until Drew, you know, finally comes back and pretty much deposits AJ into a table. He throws him over the top rope, kind of like what if you did not see this match, almost literally carried who I was just about to talk about. So let me go ahead and introduce The Miz. Obviously ran out, cashed in. Anyway, excuse me. The point is, The Miz comes out, he cashes in his Money in the Bank. After The Miz and Morrison comes out, and I think they both put Drew through a table. And if not both, I know Miz did it, was a part of it. He put him through a table, and then he decides to cash in. So at the moment, it seemed like a smart idea to cash in at that moment. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how, because almost is what? How tall they say he is? 7'5"? 7'4". Either way, I don't know how they not notice him, but apparently The Miz forgot about him. The side thought he was just going to be able to climb up the ladder once they announced it was a triple threat match, and almost literally carried him like a baby through the table. Like, just dropped him over the ropes outside the ring through a table. So it was absolutely chaos from this point on. Like, it became like a triple threat match, and who was going to end up prevailing. And I love how it was like a tale of two matches. It was a competitive one-on-one match, and then which we will see again in the second TLC match, kind of like two matches in one. And then this one is a chaotic triple threat scramble, and they just scramble for the goal, and Drew end up, you know, prevailing, retaining. So no more Money in the Bank. I saw some people after this saying that maybe they should retire the Money in the Bank briefcase. I have no clue why you suggest that. Just because Miz did not prevail, just because Otis, you know, also didn't prevail. Like, I don't know what you want. Like, are you saying because now, what, two out of the three? Two out of the however many people who have, I think it's two or three. That's the reason why I said three. But I think it's only been two. Yeah, I think Otis counts as the second one. So it would be three now. Three people has not been able to cash in? Because, no, four, because Corbin. So now we got four. We got that small number to four. They still can say winning the Money in the Bank is an automatic, pretty much title win almost. It's still the ratio. This does not hurt the ratio that bad. So I'm trying to figure out why would the briefcase need to be eradicated.
Right. Like, we know, statistically speaking, that not everybody that gets the Money in the Bank contract is going to get it.
The title. Well, no. That's what they used to say. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the statistics are actually the opposite. It's only been, like I said, three people who have messed it up out of the other people who have not, if you think about it.
But it's still like three people,
Yeah, no, but you know what I'm saying is they've been doing this since 2006.
They lean on that three people as a reason to like, okay.
No, they don't. They do the opposite. They lean on the poor fact that more people win to put over how important their briefcase is. So I get that. But what I'm trying to say is just because we have one more person who lost in that ratio, it does not mean the briefcase don't need to exist. Either way it goes, 4 out of 5 stars for me in this match. It was a great job by everyone involved. I was not expecting it to end up being that entertaining. Not saying that between Drew and AJ, but even with the inclusion of The Miz, it added another dynamic after pretty much 30-something minutes of Drew and AJ themselves going back at it. So mm-hmm. It was great to get that.
All right, next up,
And it kicked off the show. So
it did. Cool. Did you give your grade?
Yeah, I was at 4 out of 5.
That's how we're grading it. We're not doing letters. No. Cool. Now we know. Ha ha ha.
4.5 out of 5.
Next up, we had Sasha Banks versus Carmella for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yes, we did. Both ladies. Looked really, really nice. I did highlight that I like both their gears, Carmella's gear, which, by the way, in my notes, I just wrote as Mella. So when I'm saying Mella, I'm talking about Carmella. Probably just going to say Carmella for you guys, but.
Mella is money, ain't he?
Exactly. So, yeah, I just want to make sure they know. I don't know if they know that. Not on the Twitter. On the Twitter, they don't seem to know that.
We don't listen to Twitter.
You shouldn't. Anyway, using Reginald, by the way, to get the upper hand. Shout out to Reginald. I know you just a brother getting your check out there, dude. But, I'm just going to be honest with you. Maybe she used that to get an upper hand early in the match after Sasha, you know, started off pretty good. And maybe that's good heel work. And maybe me hating Reginald being there just as a manservant in general is all good heel work. But I'm just going to go with probably not until I'm convinced otherwise. I'm going to go with probably not. I'm just going to say I don't like him being a manservant. I'm not going to say it has anything to do with good heel work. Because I think that's what Vince want me to do. They want you to be like, that's great heel work because I hate this. No, I just hate it.
I don't want nobody waiting on nobody. I didn't like it when Omo first showed up and just being his associate. I think we passed the silent, brooding, like, I don't want to say associate again, muscle that don't speak.
No, but it's different here because you're not even peeping what I'm peeping off top. No. Because with AJ in that and almost, I let it slide. Because even if you want to, you can at least be a big dude like that being security is common, if you see what I'm trying to say. And all that. So AJ hiring him to be his security. Yeah, it's been done before, but it's something that I get. This is different in my opinion. The only reason why I say that is because I don't know what it is about Carmella, but it just exudes that she need a man in her corner. That's all. Even deeper than the fact that he a black dude waiting on her. Besides that.
You taking it back
just
to
think
James.
About how Carmella, James Ellsworth, even R-Truth. No matter since you can go back to Enzo, back in the NXT day.
Yeah.
No matter what, even in this match, because this match, Carmella actually impressed me with her in-ring work, some of the moves that she pulled out, some of the things that Sasha was able to, by the way, Sasha made her look great in this match. Like, first of all, Sasha taking gnarly bumps is nothing new. That's par for the course in a match that involves the boss. She's always going to take crazy bumps. But, man, she did whatever she could to make Carmella look great in this match. That, like I said, that tilt-a-whirl Bella Buster. That's the only time the Bella Buster will ever be acceptable to me. I don't really like it as a move. I didn't like it when X-Pac did it as the X-Factor. Like, I'm one of those guys. I didn't like the X-Factor. Don't like the Bella Buster. So seeing her do a tilt-a-whirl version of that move and Sasha sold it like she got spiked, it was beautiful. Loved it. I really, really loved it. And then I literally typed, if you doubted Carmella before this match, you know, I think they did all they could to try to silence those doubters. And then they immediately set us right back again with Reginald saving her after she gets locked in the bank statement. Like, he literally pulled her out of the ropes, and then that's when Carmella gets this false finish spot where she kicks Sasha. I think she super kicks her in the face. And then, you know, Sasha kicks out or grabs the rope. Mostly that has more to do with you, Carmella, because you just, your ring awareness was very poor, and you pulled her towards the ropes also, by the way. But anyway, that's besides the point. But the frustration with that, her grabbing the rope, costed Carmella in the end, and she you know, gets locked up in the bank statement, and there's no surviving that. Sasha looked great in her survival. I thought this was this match deserved maybe four out of five stars. I honestly probably could take it down another half star just because of Reginald's involvement, but I will not because, you know, he didn't involve himself as much. I've seen more annoying, like, manager situations like that. And Sasha pretty much eradicated him easily. So it worked out well enough. But, yeah, I just want to highlight that. I don't really understand why, for some reason, I've noticed no matter what, you know, besides, you know, a dude, besides anyone waiting on anyone, Carmella has so far, every time they come up with something new for her, or if I guess something new for her, she ends up, you know, with someone needing to help her, and it's usually a man. So I'm just saying, I just noticed that. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's nothing.
No.
I could be nitpicking, but I'm just saying, it's just something there.
It's a pattern.
And, you know, I think that she can do things on her own, but we have no way of really knowing that because so far she has been asked to tag along in everything, or someone has been tagging along in her story. So, yeah, just wanted to highlight that. But 4 out of 5 stars.
Yep. Next up, we've got the New Day versus the Hurt Business for the Raw Tag Team Championships. First off, just want to say, the Hurt Business has been wild lately. Cedric, especially. What we have seen from the main roster, Cedric is like, he feeling himself.
Yes, I love, that's the only, believe it or not, that's a good thing, because Cedric is starting to show a lot of that personality that they claim he didn't have.
That's true.
But also, it's a bad thing, because I don't know about you guys, but this is the first time where I've seen a tag team win the titles, where I'm like, y'all already planting seeds for them to break up. You know, they win the title. They just win the title here. I'm just saying, think about that. Not saying they will break up. I don't know. But I'm just saying, obviously, Cedric is going to be a breakout.
A real tag team. Like, we gotta clarify that. A real tag team winning the title. And, like, plan, like, you know how they have those happenstance tags.
How do I know this is not one? That's my point. Because Cedric has been stepping in front of Shelton for, like, weeks now.
He has tagging himself in when it wasn't necessary.
He's been acting out for weeks now, but I love it. And he needs to. It's just great. The tag division is so bare, you know. They are needed, and I felt like as long as the Hurt Business won this match, it automatically was gonna get 3 stars from me just from that point. Tom Phillips, please stop reminding us of WWE's version of ECW. I understand that Shelton Benjamin and Kofi fought way back in the day, and that's where they beef started, you know, kayfabe-wise, way back then. But just stop. Nobody wants to be reminded of that horrible show that used to come on TV on Tuesdays on Sci-Fi. I remember. I was actually the audience they was trying to get to watch.
I watched it.
It was bad.
It was so-so.
I watched it at first, but it got worse.
It did.
And worse.
Even a person that likes vampires.
And worse. Okay, you talking about Kevin Thorne. That was bad. Dude.
No, listen. I had a point there. Even a person that likes
Ariel.
That likes vampirism. Whatever that
woman name was.
Can draw a line like, yeah, nah. This ain't good.
No, it was bad. It was real bad. And I spent 3-4 minutes talking about it. Sorry, I'm just acting like Tom Phillips here. I shouldn't remind you guys of that. It shouldn't, because I got PTSD from them days. Oh, Lord. Anyway, then they started making magic. You know, the New Day doing what they do best. Come on now, having a competitive, great tag team match. It's just what the New Day is all about. You know, Kofi is still the man. I know he don't have the WWE title, but he went on a flurry in that match to where you just look at it and he's like, man, I don't know how Kofi is still able to do a lot of stuff he's doing. And then Shelton, even though he don't run off the ropes as fast as he used to, he still did that nice, you know, suplex off the ropes. And it seemed like he was setting up his finish, trying to hit pay dirt one more time. But Cedric tags in, hits the lumbar check, which I, you know, like you said, he did have a little bit more urgency than Shelton. Shelton was, you know, waiting too long for him to get up, even though Kofi did take his time to get up.
That's
why you need Cedric to go over there, pick him up for you, and just, exactly. you know, Drop him on his knee. Anyway, go. New tag team champions. I'm happy. I give it 4 out of 5 stars. It was a really, really solid match. To be fair, I think this match is, like I said, par for the course when it comes for, like, a New Day versus a team. Maybe this is, like, one of those things. Like, for example, you got certain things you expect from New Day. You got New Day versus the Usos. New Day versus a team that involves Cesaro. New Day versus anything that involves Sheamus. And then you, like, they're gonna perform well when those combinations happen. This is also in that New Day bag of New Day is gonna look good, but put a new team over. They just did it with the Street Profit, and they're doing it with the Hurt Business here. So New Day, I don't know what's next. That's the only thing I always ask is every time they lose a title. I feel
time
like what are they gonna do now? I don't want to say break up, but I don't know what's next.
Xavier.
But we can't lie, baby. They need them in that tag division. So I don't know. I don't know if you go to the breakup right now. That division is way too bare to break them up. But we'll see. So let's move on to the women.
I think it's going to be a slow disintegration. Next up, we've got Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Asuka and a mystery partner who turns out to be Charlotte MF and Flair.
Surprise. Queenie back. Queen noise.
That's a queen noise?
I don't know. That's what I think of. I think of stuff like that. Like, you know.
We got to figure out how
it's just like, you know how, but they always place.
Yeah.
Screw it. I don't care. I'm not a royal.
That's
I'm
like,
not,
a, that's like
not,
a fairy noise?
Yes, he is more of a fairy noise. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Okay? She a fairy queen right now. Today.
She did look magical in that robe. Oh, God. Nia Jax and Shayna, we talked about this. They really flubbed up when they took out Lana instead of Asuka.
Yeah, I don't know. Man, that was just not smart. The wrong person. You take out Asuka, you dummies. Yeah. Leave Lana with whoever she can find.
Right. Cause
maybe you won't even get Charlotte.
We all know that Lana know how to burn some bridges now.
That's what I'm saying. Who Lana knew that she could have hooked up? She probably didn't know Charlotte. Or if she do know Charlotte, she probably couldn't get Charlotte to do this. Either way it go, I do have a question now. Like I said, this is just a question. Don't necessarily need an answer because I know many of you are out there probably wondering the same thing. I know you guys don't have the answer. What was the point of the whole Lana focus if this ends in not Lana as champion, but, you know, Asuka and Charlotte?
Build her up just to tear her down.
What do we gain then if you're just tearing her back down?
Nothing.
Or and then you never really built it up because she never really won.
She anything. Won against Nia that one time.
That means so much.
The roll up. That's the worst part.
It ain't that one time. That's what we talking about. It was just the other day.
I know.
That she won and she lost. And she got. She really lost after she won. Because now she's not in the title match. Either way it goes, that's the point. I don't know why. I don't know what the storytelling was these last few weeks. Maybe it's more of a sign that the women's division is just that. I just said the tag division was bare, but I can't help but use the same word here for the women. You know, I think it was cool. It's cool to see Billie Kay applying for the position, I guess.
I love her resume gimmick.
I don't know. I like it, too. I don't know where she's at, though. Is she on Raw or SmackDown?
She does both.
Okay, so she's just talking to Austin because we're here together right now.
She
but anyway,
got the resume. Yeah, that's really what it is.
Yeah, 3.5 match. This match. Oh yeah, by the way, Oscar took a beating, so Charlotte get her inevitable hot tag. This whole match is basically welcome back Charlotte, welcome back to Charlotte's moonsault, welcome back to the figure eight. Even though she didn't finish it with that, she finished it with not. So welcome back with natural selection. Finished it with that. Poor Shayna Baszler. I remember when Shayna was dominant in NXT, I just had dreams of Charlotte and Shayna. It would be a great rivalry on the main roster. That looked like it won. It looked like in this match, the way this match was put together, Shayna don't even look like she deserves to be in the ring with Charlotte. And it ain't got nothing to do with anything Shayna has done. I'm just talking about how every time she and Charlotte was going at it, Charlotte just kind of discarded her easily.
Yeah, they on the match.
It was harder to get rid of Nia than it was Shayna.
On the Raw, they booked Shayna like she just a scrub. Like
she's nowhere near. Even if you don't want to say scrub, she's nowhere near.
She don't even get the same badassery that they gave.
It don't exist.
Ronda.
It don't exist. Oh no, wait, no. She's not the star.
But in NXT, that's
but
what,
in NXT,
that's
no. In NXT, her. She's bigger than Ronda. And I stand on it. And I mean it. In NXT, that name means more. I don't. As a matter of fact, I don't know who better in the women's division. Like a lot of people were saying, like a lot of people were trying to figure out, like who do you put up there? Do you give it back to, like a lot of people give it to Sasha and Bayley and them because of their popularity. But off pure resume, Shayna is more accomplished in NXT than any of them. But anyway, that's besides the point. I just want to highlight that. So anybody who's a fan of Shayna or remember how dominant she has been or is or can be. Yeah, I know this match was kind of tough to watch. But either way it goes, like I said, 3.5, because I feel like this match, 3.5 stars, because I feel like this match was something you could have got on Raw. You could have got the same title change on a Raw, and it wouldn't have hurt anything. And but I do give it a 4 out of 5 stars for the return of Charlotte, because they need her desperately, no matter what, whether that means champion or just, you know, great matches or a story, whatever it is, they need her.
Exactly. And, like, I just wanted to say congratulations. It wasn't. It didn't require that. Congratulations to Nia and Shayna for actually wearing the same color scheme. To wrestle in. Even if it may be the last time that we see them as a tag team. Moving forward, we've got Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. And you can, like, add Jey Uso in there somewhere as, like, a third tag-along person. In a TLC match for the Universal Championship. This was beautiful. I'll just say that. It was beautiful.
That's your review?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Left her speechless, obviously. No, beautiful is a great way to describe the match, but I think it's also a better way to describe that video package. What a beautiful video package they put together for this match. The lines they chose, the highlight, because Roman loves to talk these days. And by the way, me and TC, Mo, yes. I can't edit that. I probably could.
You could.
It's going to sound weird.
Mo and Monty.
See what happens when you blow the cover? You can't even start the sentence back no more. It's just weird. Anyway.
We
discussed how, as a babyface, obviously Roman was told not to talk in his matches. Because even if he said anything, we all can agree he was not this vocal. And like you said, it's no more akin to what the Usos do. Because they talk a lot of mess in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot.
A lot.
Especially since day one Uso. But they talk even when they was babyface painted Usos.
They did.
To be fair. So I believe now, seeing the personality and seeing what has come out of Roman during this run.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a good whoa moment. That's a good one. Pause. Anyway, seeing the character that he has exuded. Now I got to use different words because you're a child.
You just wanted to use that word.
No, seeing the character that he's exuded now over the last few months really makes you think, like, why would you tell him not? Where was this personality?
Right.
I get it. You can make him do bland babyface stuff, but it's certain things that Roman is doing and saying now that you just can't teach that. No one's going out there and tell Roman to, you know, say he gonna chunk up the deuces in the middle of a TLC match. Nobody telling Roman to say stuff like that. That's Roman, and that's what I'm saying. Where was that when he was a babyface? It's one of those things that really makes me question what WWE teeth. Was directing or
he,
whatever.
He didn't want to talk with his teeth.
He did his teeth wouldn't. Be quiet. Okay, he didn't smile a lot before this, but I don't remember his teeth being that bad.
I don't know.
Maybe he kept it hidden well, and I just don't remember. But either way it goes.
And nothing like these new chompers.
Obviously, but I don't think that's why he's talking.
I think so.
I disagree completely. But anyway.
When you love your team.
It was a great camera angle for the beginning of this match when Kevin ambushed Roman to kick it off. This match really gave me a lot of old Kevin Owens vibes. They're just not perfectly straight. His teeth was fine.
Nah, those teeth.
I disagree completely. Those are little
baby teeth.
Yeah, I have those. They're fine. Anyway, like I was saying, this match reminded me of the old Kevin Owens, especially when he was trying to hurt Jay, which Jay deserved because Jay kept throwing that leg up there for that super kick. And if I got a chair, yes, I'm going to hit your leg with that chair. I love that spot. This match was just insanity. I love how Kevin Owens came out aggressive. This match is one of those matches where they didn't do a lot of chasing after the belt. And usually that would take away from a match with a ladder or with a belt on the top of a ladder or whatever. And they did, of course, eventually start the chase for the belt. But most of this match was doing damage to each other. And I think that helped the match because of the story attached. You know, Roman was saying some very personal stuff. This isn't just some I want the belt, I'm better than you type of storyline. This is a personal storyline. So the fact that both guys took time to try to really, really hurt each other really – really put this match's story on display, and it was just great. I loved it, you know. That distraction from beating down Jay got Roman started on his beatdown, and it was just, you know, Roman was a very, very aggressive. He talked, like, so far, he hasn't missed so far either since his return. He has been knocking them out the park every spotlight match they have given him. Even, you know, with his cousin, you know, now with Kevin, and, you know, it's just been great. I love what Roman has been doing, and you have to give props to Kevin also. This is a classic Kevin Owens performance. I wasn't always sold on Kevin as a babyface, but in this match, I don't know how you can watch it and not be rooting for him. He at every turn, it was either Jay or Roman stopping him from, you know, winning, and he just kept fighting. You know, he kept getting up. Roman put him through like three straight tables. And I think Kevin still made his way to get in there and stop Roman from winning the match. So it was just great displays of resilience by Kevin Owens. And I love that. I love it when a babyface shows that they won't quit. At every turn, Roman and Uso were just spoiling things. You know, Kevin made it all the way to the top. But of course, you know, after just dealing with so much, you know, Roman returns after, because I think Uso made a return before that, and then he finally got Uso out of the way. And then Kevin gets to the top of the ladder, and then Roman pops up just in time for what? A nice dick punch. Literally. There's no other way to put it. If I can't put it no other way than that.
A low blow.
Dick punch. That's all it was. Give me a blow. Dick punch pop. We're going to start a thing now for Roman.
It's not.
The dick punch pop. Whoa. Pause. Anyway, besides that, at every turn, like I said, Roman and Uso were there. The dick punch was the last straw. The guillotine right after it was actually the last straw. And then, you know, he slowly gets the belt. And that's it.
Slowly.
Roman retained. And this match was 5 stars for me. Perfect match. I recommend everyone go check it out. Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns literally put on one of the best TLC matches I've seen in a long time. I don't understand how the pay-per-view energy for some of these matches and some of these shows are so great, and then you get to the week-to-week shows, and it's just like, what am I watching? I don't know. I don't know why they've been doing that consistently, because this is proof.
They got to get
the pay-per-views finished. Have been proof that they can do this, that you can put on concise, interesting, and very competitive shows. You can do that.
They got to get footage on the for their video package.
True, but I get that. And I know you're just joking, but the point I'm highlighting now is serious here. I'm trying to be serious. I don't understand it. That's something that needs to be talked about. It's no way that I can come to you. I can watch your monthly specials, be entertained, but then that next night you're going to make me not want to watch anything else.
Yeah.
That's, I'm just saying, I don't know how they consistently do that. But anyway, I've been interested in this angle as far as Roman and Usko and all that. Been interested in that from the beginning. So I'm happy. I'm happy with that performance. 5 stars, like I said. It deserves another pop. What's next?
Next, last, least, not least. That was not what I meant to say. Last but not least. Ha ha ha. There we go. Randy Orton versus The Fiend in a Firefly Inferno match, which is just a regular Inferno match, but you know they got to have a gimmick to everything now when it involves Bray. This, how do I describe a match where you have a pickaxe-wielding masked man running around?
Definitely a moment. I wouldn't say just a match. It's because it didn't really have rudimentary type wrestling. You never would do that in these type of matches. You know? But yeah. What do you call it?
A serial killer.
Yeah. I think The Fiend falls right in that category. Yeah. The Flames not on the ropes. Definitely shocking for any of the old head Inferno match guys like me. I know that not having them trapped in the ring of flames is probably safer now that I think about it. But safer. Also, crowd. Just different. Yeah, of course you can take advantage of that with no crowd. It looked good imagery-wise, but yeah, it's still weird. It's weird. It's always going to be weird when you grew up looking at it a certain way. The problem is, and this is why I'm going to go ahead and start with my rating, I gave the match 3.5. And, 4 stars because someone did get set aflame. I will say, I feel like I'm dissing you to ever give anybody less than that. So 4 stars for setting yourself on fire. But 3.5 just for the fact that I knew no way that Randy Orton was burning up.
So,
okay?
Yeah.
Let's just clarify that already. There's no way that Randy Orton was burning up. We all should know The Fiend was going to burn up. And just spoiler alert, The Fiend was set aflame.
How do you win an Inferno match? Do you really win?
You win a match by not getting set on fire.
Is that really a win, though?
Yes. Because it's either get set on fire or don't. So the winner, don't. I think you're a winner, bro. Think Randy won that one since he's not on fire. But yeah, so a lot of people wondering now. I think the key or the big moment or the big question now after that finish. Now, I got a couple questions before I go to that big question. Well, I got one at least. Why was this after Roman and Kevin?
I'll tell you why.
But hold on.
I get to the rumors.
Okay, cool. You can get there. But I want to highlight this. I want to say this, though, about that. In hindsight now, immediately I was like, why is this after that match? In hindsight, now that I get it. For the imagery of seeing The Fiend, burn up, I guess you can't come out with a ladder after that. And then just have a regular match. I guess it is a little harder, maybe. And then besides that, also, let's just establish that I don't know. I think this would be kind of like The Undertaker. I don't think it means what I've seen people on social media highlight about The Fiend probably being no more. And Randy set his house on fire. Now he's on fire. Cool. Whatever. That would be a nice way to end the character if you wanted to. I just don't see it. I think it'd be just like any other time The Undertaker took a loss in one of these stipulation matches. He can go away and he come back. He's unexplainable. So he can always come back, if you see what I'm trying to say. So, anyway, that's my take on it. Like I said, 3.5 for the match, 4 for the moment of that. And for the overall TLC, I'm giving it 4.2 stars. It was a strong show. It had minor faults. I had 4.5.
Did you average that? Did you go through and
No, I had 4.5. I don't average nothing.
0.2 seems specific.
Yeah, it do, but it's specific because I specifically had 4.5, but then when the Inferno match happened, I took it off to 4.2.
Okay.
And yes, it does deserve to drop down because you go from, like I said, if you ended me on the high, that 5-star match that I like, oh yeah, that's almost a perfect show. But when you end it on somebody getting set on fire who I knew was going to get set on fire as soon as their music hit, then I'm like, all right, okay, whatever. I'm not, this match ain't for me, but it is what it is. But 3.5 stars is actually a high rating for a match that ain't for me. So, deal with it.
I thought you said it was four stars because he got caught on fire.
The moment of him getting caught on fire is four stars.
Not the whole match.
The whole match is still only 3.5. They didn't do anything.
They didn't.
It's not, I mean, not that they didn't do anything. It's just like, it's an inferno. You only got, you're not finna, why the hell are you doing an arm drag in an inferno match? You wouldn't be doing regular wrestling moves in an inferno match.
If a match.
Anyway, so it's only so much they can do.
If a mask
so the moment man, is the only thing I can really rate personally.
Fair enough. If the masked man came after you and you have all this fire everywhere, I don't think this is the time to do like.
I wouldn't even try an ankle lock. Don't even try the RKO.
There'll be no mat wrestling today. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm saying I can't grade it like a wrestling mat. I can, you know.
Cool. Yeah.
Grade it for the moment it is.
It's time for rumor. Gossip Corner. All right, guys. So, guys, gal, people in between. Dave Meltzer reported that, let's catch you up. Apparently, USA was allegedly highly upset over the recent ratings for Ross. They was like, we want more edgy content. We want some adult stuff. And Dave Meltzer's like, no, that's not true. USA was disappointed, but they're not saying flash some titties or whatever, just to get viewers. So
that would work, though, by the way. Just want to highlight, anybody want to go volunteer and flash on the kids show, just want to let you guys know, yeah, it probably would work for ratings. Now, think about it long term, though. I'm just playing. Anyway, go back. Go ahead. I'm just talking.
Next up, the Inferno match was a pre-tape. That's why it was the main event. It was not originally scheduled to be the main event, but after seeing all of that stuff, they're like, how can we put this man setting himself on fire anywhere else?
Yeah, basically what I just said. Somebody gonna get set aflame. So it's like now you're giving somebody the task of following that. So yes, just avoid that all together. I get it.
Then, apparently, Heel by Nature reported that AEW is filing for some trademarks for AEW Elevation and AEW Dark. So
you gotta do Elevation in Colorado.
But we don't know if Elevation, people are speculating, because you know AEW is supposed to have like a third hour coming to TNT.
Ah, okay, so that's what they mean.
Yeah, so that please could Elevation.
Please don't do a third hour coming to TNT.
No, not third hour. Okay. As in right after the show.
Oh, thank God.
Think of it like AEW Dark.
You're trying to ruin it. You ruined it, Austin. Damn it.
Think of it like AEW Dark, but instead of like, I remember telling you like not too long ago that they were thinking about splitting up the developmental region for like people who were developing and people who were, you know, just continuing storylines. I think Dark is now more going to be more for continuing storylines, and Elevation is going to elevate the newcomers, give them something to do.
Sounds good.
And
still, do it in Colorado.
They can't do it in Colorado. It's COVID.
I'm not being serious here. I'm just talking about Elevation in more ways than one.
Oh, my God.
From your role model, Monty G.
Oh, my God. We get one more year of the Lucha Bros. Allegedly, their contracts expired August 31st, but they extended it for another year.
All right, Lucha.
And that's all
I'm not. I'm hyped about that, believe it or not. It may not sound hype, but that's good. 1 year, though.
1 year. I think, I don't know if you remember, but I think that's like the benefit of AEW. You have like
I was just about to say, they're giving you freedom. They are the opposite of everybody.
Yeah, we're not going to lock you down because you might not want to be here anymore.
What's wrong with you, AEW?
You don't like, I get that. If you don't like where we're going with your character in a year, you can definitely, like, not resign.
Yeah, but see me, I always go to sports. I think my mind went straight to sports, and I'm just like, if I got Patrick Mahomes, man, I'm not finna get that man a 1-year contract.
So you trying to force people to stay here.
But I don't want wrestling to be the NFL.
And that's why he got.
And then again, I don't want the NFL to be wrestling either. Let's not go there. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
All right.
Gossip Corner. And that concludes the gossip. There's always more, but you know, you filter out what's important and what's not. We just want to say thank you all for listening. We're trying to make this short. We're going to be coming to you with some other platforms.
Don't even say that now.
2021.
Yeah, we have a lot of things that's planned, but honestly, I'm just trying to make it through. So, I'll see you guys next pod.
Adios.
That's the goal.
Not just adios, and you want to keep talking?
Au revoir.